of the church. And this week we want to look again at the great tribulation period that's talked about in Daniel in great detail. Talked about throughout the Old Testament, called the Day of the Lord, the Day of the Vengeance of the Lord. It's called the Wrath of God poured out here upon this earth. It's called the Great Tribulation. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble, not the church's trouble. It's called a lot of things again in the Bible, and it's present all through the Bible that there is coming a judgment of this earth. And Matthew chapter 24 is one of the lead-ins, again, to our Bible prophecy conference about the last things. And so I took off and locked my glasses in the house. And so I'm not reading a lot today, but we are going to read this whole section of Scripture. And I'm going to ask Brother Dave Cramer to come on up for another Bible reading. And if you'd bring your Bible and read Matthew chapter 24, down through verse 26. Matthew chapter 24, 1 through 26.
Verse 1, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination and desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that guard with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever will be. And except those days shall be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great things and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not.
Father, praise you again, and thank you for your word. Thank you again as we look at it, that we could not look forward to a great tribulation and the time of trouble that's coming here upon this earth. Father, we look forward, even as your word commands, to the coming of your only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior. Father, that we will be called up and will meet him in the air and will go to a great wedding feast. And Father, that as we do that, we'll again have things unfold upon this earth that's well deserved. And Father, as we trust your word for that, we'd ask again that you give us a heart of compassion. May each one here, as we look at the doom coming upon this earth on this day, Father, as we look ahead into what you've prophesied in Scripture, may it change our heart, may it change our walk, may it change our witness, Father, that we could again see life's change before it's eternally too late. And Father, that you'd again tug on our hearts, knowing again that now is the time, it's high time, that we, again, were your witnesses of the end times. We'll praise you and thank you for touching each word, each slide, each visitation that we do of the prophecy of these end times. And Father, we'll give you the praise for touching our hearts. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. As we take up this theme again and as we look into the Scriptures, it's appalling to me the things that are here. And even as we look at the structure of the book of Revelation, it's interesting to me. After 19 years of putting these together and of studying them, it is interesting to just go through that. It's very moving. I've gone through this probably each day this week, these slides, and trying to rearrange them and put them together in some organized manner. And the end times that we have ahead of us is filled with horror. Our God is an awesome God. And His horror and His tribulation that's coming is awesome. But again, it is troubling, again, as we consider the world and considering how close we are getting to it, even. I put together, after our Thursday night meeting, I was troubled again by our country, troubled again by our direction. It's easy to treat symptoms, you know, and say, we've got some problems again, and let's look at them and see how we're going to solve them. And we'll solve them by locking up all the guns, and we'll solve them by giving everybody free medicine, and we'll solve them by... But listen, never mind the symptoms. If you go back to the source of the problem, that's the important thing. And so going back to the source of the problem, after our meeting on Thursday night, bedlam in our streets, bedlam in our government, bedlam in our climate. I've got three things that can solve all of those that I'm jotting out. And I'll get them included in the presentation here of the judgment that's coming. But if America could turn wholeheartedly from evolution and acknowledge and worship our most holy, omnipotent Creator, Jehovah God, not Allah, Jehovah God, as our Lord. Not the deity of your choice, but to worship God as our Creator. If America could, number two, if America could turn wholeheartedly from socialism of every ilk, most pointedly from socialized medical insurance that's a complete failure again. If we could turn from that and acknowledge and promote our government's aged motto, in God we trust. Again, some of the source. And thirdly, if America could turn wholeheartedly from our immorality, most particularly from sodomy and other sexual perversions, and acknowledge and promote God's holy Bible as the supreme source of moral right and wrong. Just three steps. Three simple steps. And that's the source of our problem in America. And if America don't, and I don't believe it will, and if the world don't, this slide appears to portray what God's going to do. God says He's going to do it. God's outlined the direction of our world again, to it'll be in such a place that it'll hate Israel with all of its power, and it will again be well deserving of the great tribulation period here. For then shall come a great tribulation, as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no ever shall be. And so we're going to look now at that tribulation period. In doing that, we're going to look at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We're going to look at the abomination of desolations that Dave just read from Matthew chapter 24. And then I want to spend a little time looking at the halfway point of Daniel's 70th week. Now, there's a lot of information in here, and I'm just going to highlight again some of the main points. And so as we look again, the main theme is the revelation of Jesus Christ, the last book in your Bible, the book that's called by Protestants an allegorical book that cannot be understood. The Presbyterian theology books I have wouldn't even delve into what the book of Revelation says because they cannot understand it. And there is a reason for that. But again, as we read the book, again, it's very understandable. And notice again here, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It says, "Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore." Amen. Amen. And that the keys of hell and have the keys of hell and death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. That little verse right there is key to understanding the things in the book of Revelation. And so we want to look at that key, that organization structure here, to get a good understanding of the book of Revelation. Christ told the Apostle John to write the things which thou hast seen. He wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And those are a witness of the things that we have seen, which our eyes have looked upon, which our hands have handled, the only begotten Son of God. And he was told to write the things which are. That is, again, the local New Testament church. That's the seven messages to the seven churches we already looked at briefly last week. And the things which shall be hereafter. And that is indeed the great tribulation period that's coming upon the earth. Protestant teaching teaches that we are in the tribulation period right now. And again, none of that fits with anything that my Bible says. And so we understand that there is yet coming a great tribulation period. And the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ is a revelation of that great coming tribulation period. And so as we again look at that, the great tribulation spoken of by Jesus, notice even as I said, it is spoken of by Jeremiah. "Alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble." And again, I'll mention, it's the time of Jacob's trouble, but not of the church's trouble. We will be raptured out before the tribulation period begins. Notice the last phrase, "but he shall be saved out of it." That's Jacob, that's the nation of Israel, and that's their salvation, being saved out of it. It is spoken of throughout all prophecy, and we see again that this great tribulation period, "when thee therefore see the abomination of desolation," spoken of by Daniel the prophet, "stand in the holy place." And so notice again, the tribulation period is revealed to Daniel as the 70th week, a 7-year period. And it is clearly divided into two parts. Midway, there's a division between these 7 years, exactly 3.5 years in to this tribulation period. And so again, we see again very clearly that Daniel, as he spoke of this, "and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. For the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." And so we see again this great tribulation of period spoken of. The week of tribulation, Jacob's trouble, not the church's trouble, is portrayed in the Revelation as the opening of the sealed book of judgment. So I want you to watch this theme going through the book of Revelation. It is key to understanding the whole book. And the first is the opening of this sealed book. "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. This book is the book of judgment. And notice Revelation chapter 5, "Worthy is the Lamb to open the book, and there is no other that's able. Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book." Revelation chapter 5. As we said, Revelation chapter 5 comes after, again, the coming of the 7 messages to the 7 churches. The opening of the book with the 7 seals, is after the seven messages to the seven churches, and after the trumpet, which sounds like the command, come up hither. There's no mention of the church after that command. She is, at this time, before the bride, and is off to the great wedding. And so again, I have this chart that I still love, showing again the different periods of time for the different churches and the ages that seem to fit into the description. And we indeed are in what's called the Laodicean church age, where the churches are apostate, not preaching or teaching from the pulpit the Word of God. And we find that clearly portrayed as a problem in the Laodicean church. After the worship of the Lamb in chapter 5, the Worthy One begins the opening of the book of judgment, which contains the wrath of God. First, there are seven seals that are removed. And again, the seven seals acknowledge the preparation of the opening of the book. The book is not open during these seal openings. But again, the preparation. Think of the seals again. In fact, many of you have an Oxford Bible. You look at the back of your Bible, you'll notice that there's seven bands on the back of your Bible. This is one of the books that's going to be opened again, I'm sure, at that time. But again, notice again that the opening of the seals on this book is not the opening of the book. It signifies allowing the preparations before His wrath shows up. Second, the seven trumpets sound. And again, the announcement for the opening of the book. The book is not yet open, but now the seven trumpets. What's a trumpet represent? Voice of God. Repeatedly, again. We're going to hear a trumpet that says, come up hither. Israel says, here's a trumpet that says, gather together. And so again, understand that the trumpet and the seven trumpets here are the voice of God giving a final plea, a final warning that people would sit up and pay attention. There is a great tribulation period that's unfolding here upon the earth. It signifies a taste of the wrath that's to come. And then finally, the third is the vials of the wrath of God are poured out. And so as the vials of the wrath of God are poured out, notice again, the book is fully opened in Revelation chapter 16. There's a mid-trib revelation, a mid-trib period of this tribulation period, 3.5 years. And at that time, Satan is cast out from heaven. And that is, by the way, exactly dead center in the middle of the revelation of Jesus Christ. To the nearest word, to the nearest verse, it is divided exactly in half. And that's where Satan is cast out of heaven. Finally, the horrifying wrath of God is poured out on the earth. And so, notice again that the revelation begins with the opening of these seven seals. Here's the first four of the seals, are four horsemen. And as we consider again the opening of these seals, we see again that first there's a white horse that comes. A lot of people think that Jesus comes in riding on a white horse and this is it. This ain't it, okay? This is again the opening of the seals, the preparation for the wrath of God being poured out. And the white horse is probably an Obama who called himself the Messiah. It's going to save the world. And it's someone, again, it's a man, it's a human that's going to, again, bring peace on earth. Come riding in on a white horse. The Bible says, and I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Secondly, is a red horse, the Bible says. Notice it says of the red horse, and there went out another horse that was red. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and they that should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. There's a black horse that is, again, the third seal. And the black horse again says in Revelation chapter 6, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see that thou hurt not the oil and the wine. There is a pale horse that comes riding. And the Bible says of the pale horse, And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto him over all the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. We find again that there's now a fifth seal. We're up to five seals. There's seven seals. The fifth seals, again, is, as the Bible says, all the martyrs that were killed during this tribulation period. There will be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. They will not be saved like you and I are saved. They will be saved when they endure to the end. And again, a lot of Pentecostals have all of that mixed up and are trying to endure to the end. A lot of Mennonites are trying to endure to the end because they have not understood that that is a different salvation they have during this tribulation period. During the tribulation period, when one believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, they are not indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. They are not sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. They are not quickened by the Holy Spirit of God. They are justified, but again, they are again required again to live in this life without the fruits of what you and I enjoy so readily, the indwelling of the Spirit of God, the fact that He said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Boy, there's things again about our own salvation that we need to just rejoice in, because it will not be available during this time, and there will be martyrs. And the Bible says, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? The white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest for yet a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And so we see again the opening then of the sixth seal. The sixth seal opens, and as it does, everything's coming to a halt here. Sixth seal is total anarchy here on this earth. We've tasted of it a little bit, even in our society, in batches and areas and different places. But again, this is a total anarchy that's going to come upon the earth. And I beheld, when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. This is a seal. This is a preparation for the wrath of God. This is not even the wrath of God yet. This is a preparation that's coming here upon this earth. And notice we're tasting of it already, where there's wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes in diverse places and things going on in our climate again that man cannot understand. But it is indeed global warning. And we need to pay attention to that and understand that and preach that. That again, God is talking again about the judgment that's coming here upon this earth. This next slide is busy, and I will not apologize for it. I love this slide. It took me 2 years to put this together and to get all the pieces right, and I refused to change it after all that effort. But we, again, are reading down through the seven seals. The book of Revelation reveals the seven trumpets and the seven vials of the wrath of God. So going down this column over here is all the events that are being covered as we look at the book of Revelation. The seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven vials. However, intermixed in the middle of all these, there are what Scofield calls parenthetical breaks. And it's like one of the best organized books, The Revelation of Jesus Christ. And it leads you to a high note, to again a great expectation and a great tragedy before again it stops and it takes a break from all the drama, all that horror that's coming, and it stops and backs off a little bit and gives you a parenthesis in the middle of that. And it does that seven times. Isn't that a coincidence? This is the book of sevens again, no doubt. Seven being the number of completion. And here it is, as emphasized in the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ. And so we're right here now. The 144,000 will be sealed in chapter 7. And then we'll continue on with the seven seals at that point.
Notice that there's a couple more parentheses coming up here. Once again, is after the, we have six seals and then a parenthesis. We have six trumpets and then a parenthesis again, where a little book and the times of the witnesses. And then we have, again, the seventh trumpet. And then we have another huge parenthesis before the vials of God's wrath come out to give us understanding of those end times. The 144,000, again, in Zion, the everlasting gospels are going to be preached, the fall of Babylon, the visions of Armageddon. And then it begins on a path that gives us the seven vials of the wrath of God. So that's the structure of the book. Right now, in our explanation that we're in, we are right there. You are here. We just finished six seals. And notice again that after that, there is a short parenthesis. I've got another chart. And again, that goes through these seven parentheticals. And we're at this one right here with 144,000 seal. 144,000 virgin males. 12,000 out of each of the tribes of Israel. There's not a single JW available in any of this, all right? So understand that misconception of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Then there's a little book in chapter 10. There's a time of the witnesses. It's just interesting. Study it all in itself. The two witnesses that are the two olive trees with the olive going straight to the lamp, olive oil coming straight from the tree to the lamp. And they're the two indestructible witnesses. They're spoken of throughout the Old Testament. And they're exemplified in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Then we find again the seventh trumpet sounds at chapter 12, verse 8. Mark's dead center in the center of your Bible. And so chapter 12 and verse 8, it's verse 202 of 404 verses, and it marks a 3.5 year point, 42 months, 1,260 days. The time, times, and half a time is repeated throughout the book of Daniel, throughout the Old Testament, and especially here in the revelation of Jesus Christ, the mark, the center point. That is what Jesus spoke of in Matthew chapter 24 when he talked about he that had understanding. Understand these times again that's given from the book of Daniel. Then we have the seven personages in chapter 12 and 13. Then again the 144,000 preaching the everlasting gospel, the fall of Babylon, and the vision of Armageddon. And then we have again, finally, at the end of the vials, we have the mystery Babylon, the seven dooms in chapter, and the seven alleluias of the glorified saints, all culminating in seven new things. I tell you, it's a book of sevens. And again, as we look at that, let's jump now to the seven trumpets that sound. The seven trumpets. Remember, the seven trumpets is the voice of God telling the world that, hey, these things are coming. Get ready. And so again, if there ever was a Jehovah Witness, it's right here again. It's the voice of God telling that there is judgment coming. We are to preach that there's salvation available. Not that there's a judgment coming. We're to preach that there's a salvation. We're to preach the gospel. We're not to be, again, talking about the judgment and scaring people. They know in their heart that they're wrong and they need a Savior. And we are to preach the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here again is the seven trumpets, which will announce the upcoming tribulation and wrath of God to be poured out. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. The three beasts that cry eternally, glory, glory, glory. Holy, holy, holy is the Most High God. Again, there's complete silence. We don't understand what that means, to have complete silence in the presence of God. But here it is for a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given the seven trumpets. As it were, out of the seventh seal come seven trumpets. And again, notice that this seven trumpets is indeed just an opening of the seal, as it were. The last seal, again, and the opening of the book is the seven trumpets. And so they do come out of that seventh seal. And the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. They were cast upon the earth. The third part of the trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. That's global warming, okay?
send that to Al Gore. Here's your global warming again, and there's going to be a great fire from God. It's interesting that these seven trumpets mirror one-third of the seven vials of the wrath of God. And so again, they're just a taste, a one-third taste of what is coming, even as the trumpets sound. And again, I want you to picture every time you see a hurricane, I want you to picture every seeing a weather abnormality, that God's up there saying, "Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?" Listen, there's the seven trumpets, and God's saying, "Can you hear me now?" And it's distressing to see the results of man, or the response of man, even to the seven trumpets of God, and the rebellion and the depravity that's in man's heart. Verse 8, "And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures that were in the sea and had life died. And a third part of the ships were destroyed." Remember I said it's going to show up in thirds. "And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And a third part of the waters became Wormwood. And many men died of the waters, because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, the day shone not in the third part of it, and the night likewise." Listen, there's coming a time of trouble upon this earth that's inconceivable by us. And it's inconceivable by this world. And they won't be able to blame anything on a carbon footprint or any other stupidity that they could come up with to say that, hey, this is not an act of God. Remember, there used to be something called an act of God. And so it's coming again here that man will recognize and hear the voice of the trumpet. "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven under the earth, and to him was given the keys of the bottomless pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power." Saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, "Loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates." And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of man. And so notice again that we have now the six angels, the six trumpets sounding. And then Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15 says, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdom of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. He shall reign forever and ever. The 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God." Remember, the 24 elders is a portrayal of 12 and 12. 12 again of the tribes of Israel. And 12 again apostles of the Lamb, gathered together as one to worship God. And we will be worshiping Him throughout. That's the portrayal of these 24 elders. And here they worship God. They showed up in Revelation chapter 5, crying, "Worthy is the Lamb." Here they're saying, "We give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, and because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power, and hast reigned." Notice again that we now have a good section of Scripture in Revelation chapter 12 that leads to the very dead center of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And in it, as I say, we mark the 3.5 year point of the tribulation period. Verse 7 says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought with his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. That great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan." Any questions about who that is? Again, we have a revelation of Jesus Christ, who also revealed an opposer of God, a Satan. And one of the great damning things of America is not only that they don't believe in God, they don't believe in Satan. And again, we have a bunch of Islam religionists who are Muslims who are worshiping Satan, and they call him Allah, and he has no only begotten son. So again, our God has an only begotten son, and there is a Satan. Here, finally, he is cast out of heaven. What's he doing in heaven, anyway? I'll tell you what he's doing in heaven right now. He's accusing you, and he's accusing me. And he's pointing his fingers at our sin and saying, look, 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 there, see what he did? The great dragon was cast out, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. 3.5 year point, Satan is cast out from heaven. Exactly again, as it said, in the 3.5 years, in the 42-month point, at a 1,260-day point, at the time, times and half a time point, halfway through this great revelation. Let's go back to my chart that I like so much. And let's see if we can't get a "you are here" symbol. And notice again that we just finished the 6 trumpets. Now the 7th trumpet has sounded. And we again will begin in the book with the 7 personages. And so as we follow through again, there's a great deal written about the witnesses that are the olive trees, the indestructible witnesses that prophesy for 1,260 days. And then they are finally destroyed at the midpoint of the tribulation period. After 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, that they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon all them that saw them. And so we see again here that these witnesses are taken off to heaven. Every eye shall see him. I forget, it was Martin Luther who said it's impossible for every eye on earth to see something. Now it happens every day in our society again. But it's one of the reasons why he cast off the book of Revelation, says it has some impossible things. You and I in these past 50 years have seen the impossible, and it's now routine. And so again, these witnesses are going to be taken to heaven and be destroyed by man. Parentheses or personages, as Satan pursues the woman for 1,260 days. Again, from the midpoint of that tribulation, the court is without the temple, having to be measured again for the period of 42 months, the Bible says. And so at this midpoint of this tribulation period, at the 3.5 year period, at the 42 months, the 1,260 days, at the times of times and half a time, the Bible says, and there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Bible says, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. It has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. What is Mystery Babylon at this midpoint of the tribulation period? It's the woman on the beast. It is again recorded in chapter 17. Mystery Babylon the great The mother of harlots and the abomination of the earth. We've already seen, again in our last lecture, that these are religious entities promoting a one-world religion, which are enemies to the revelation of Jesus Christ. Notice that they are also enemies to the government, enemies to the economy. And so, again, the woman on the beast is hated, and yet she rides the beast. She is promoting a one-world government, as recorded here in Revelation chapter 17 so clearly. Ignorantly, Rome has called herself Mystery Babylon. Isn't that strange? Rome, the founder of the Roman Catholic Church, says that we are Mystery Babylon. They said that because Peter wrote from Babylon, and they said, no, he actually wrote from Rome, because we are allegorically Mystery Babylon. And a woman, and upon the forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth. And she's the mother of harlots. Understand again that Protestant churches are the daughter churches of the mother of harlots. And so again, what we see is the church in America is indeed the daughter churches of the Roman. They're coming back to Rome. They'll all come back unto a one-world government, one-world church. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of martyrs of Jesus Christ. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Again, the Roman Catholic Church has murdered well over 1 million Christians. They murdered them. They burned them at the stake for having a Bible. They murdered children for memorizing John 3:16 out of the Bible. So again, we don't have any too much regard as Baptists for the Roman Catholic Church, because here again, she is portrayed for what she is. There's a big movement growing today called the Preterists. I call them Preterists at times. I got this sentence that I put together to describe again what they are. Preterists holds that ancient Israel finds its continuation and fulfillment in the Christian Catholic Church. From the Latin praeter, denoted that something is past. Protestants suppose that God is all done with Israel, Hebrews and Jews, and had them annihilated in the destruction of Jerusalem in A.D. 70. They developed a practice, their allegorical interpretation, to transfer all the promises made to Israel to the Catholic Church. Listen, every Protestant denomination contains this teaching. The Methodist Church across the way is a united method. They united the Episcopal and the Methodist and three different movements there of the or the Methodist, the Episcopal, and the Methodist Episcopal, all three of them united in the United Methodist. Listen, this is the heart of their teaching, that we have replaced Israel. And this whole teaching is such an embarrassment to them. After 1948, when Israel became a nation, they realized that, hey, this is wrong. We've blundered. But they have never corrected their situation. They just don't talk about it. Again, so you won't find any teachings of the last times in any of the Protestant denominations, because, again, it does not fit the teaching that they've had all of their lives. And so the Roman Catholic doctrine, the replacement theology, John Calvin's covenant theology, all of Reformed theology. If you ever heard of John Piper, a leading Baptist, who is a Reformed theologian again. And so even Baptists are tangled into such foolishness as this. So there is this mid-tribulation. There is a woman on the beast. And he saith unto me, the waters that thou sawest where the whole earth sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. We see again that the government is going to turn against the one world church. We can already see that happening in America. As America has turned in. They said an interesting thing Thursday night, that sodomites and queers have come out of the closet, but Christians have gone into the closet. Shame on us. Again, we need to be outspoken about our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The false prophet causes the work of the worship of the beast and the dragon, which gives him his power. It's interesting to me. I probably don't have time to cover all of this. But as we look again at these last few slides in the midpoint of the tribulation period, notice again that there is right here the idea of a dragon, a beast, and a false prophet. It's a trinity of evil. Even as God has God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Satan puts together his trinity. And here it is, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. Interesting study of their relationship and their end. And so back to our outline again of the revelation of Jesus Christ, we're going to go to the seven vials. Notice we're leaving a lot of these personages, again, a lot of these things we study in more detail and have in other years. We're just zooming through, as it were, the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and now the seven vials of the wrath of God with great power. As we look, that's what's going to happen. So the seven vials of the wrath of God are to be poured out. The wrath of God is unimaginable. And the description of them that's given here, again, is unimaginable. As we said, there's many other events told in the Bible that break us off before this wrath of God is revealed. There's 144,000 sealed. There's a beast on the land and the sea. There's Satan's dragon, Satan's beast, and Satan's false prophet. And the worship, or the false worship that goes on here. The horns and the little horns given in Daniel. But the wrath of God is eventually to be poured out. And that wrath of God is portrayed here. Revelation chapter 16, and the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon men that had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became the blood of the dead men, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers, and the fountains of the waters, and they became blood. Notice I said that these mirror mimic again the coming of the trumpets that announce this woe and this coming of the great wrath of God. And I heard the angel of the water say, "Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged us. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy." And I heard another out of the altar say, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments." And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. His kingdom was full of darkness. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. There you have again the trinity of evil found in the Revelation. "For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth into the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle, that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon." So we find again that there is a gathering to the great battle of Armageddon. Notice the Bible says, "And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, It is done." The message today is the same. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abide upon him. I hope again that you're not looking for the wrath of God. If you are, this here just terrible taste of it should cause that we hope that our neighbors aren't going to taste of the wrath of God as well. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The Romans road to heaven, it's clear that we must formally accept His free gift, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. After a presentation of what's coming, we need to be saved. So be very sure, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Father, praise you and thank you. Thank you for what we can read in the revelation of Jesus Christ. And as we've just taken a quick overview, our hearts are moved and disturbed again at our unsaved loved ones, at our unsaved neighbors, Father, that could possibly, the trumpet would sound today, Father, could taste of your wrath. Father, we thank you first that we'll not partake of wrath. It's not appointed unto believers to taste the wrath of God. We have your everlasting life and we thank you for that. Father, help us to be witnesses of again the need of so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by our Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Lord God, help us to be witnesses of your saving grace even this week, knowing of the wrath of God. We'll give you the praise in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing an invitation. There is a name I love to hear. We love Jesus. There is a name I love to hear.